Hey there, and welcome to another edition of Power Pearls Unplugged, the video version of Power Pearls podcast, broadcasting live on Facebook every Friday. You can listen to the audio-only version of this episode by visiting powerpearlspodcast.com and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or whatever podcast player you like to listen to the episode on. We're going to be talking about 7 ways that you can become an intuitive knitter. So how are we going to do that? So basically, I'm going to talk about how you can master the tools, right? So master the tools for becoming a really masterful knitter, right? And then reimagine them. Take those tools and deconstruct them. So I know that many of you in the room right now, watching the video, that is, we've been on an intuitive shawl making journey over the past couple of weeks called the Stitchcation Shawls Workshop. And it's been 5 weeks. We're not even done. So we're still going through the workshop. So it's been a really exciting experience. And this workshop is going to be available again soon, but right now we're like in the middle of it. It's live. It's really exciting. And it's all about how do you take a more intuitive approach when it comes to your knitting? You know, how do you find that intuitive knitter inside of you? How do you trust that wisdom? So that's what we're going to be talking about. And, you know, we're going to just dive right in. We're going to dive right in right now. And I just want to say that simultaneously, I must be crazy because I am simultaneously recording an episode of Power Pearls podcast. So I'm trying to be mindful of the audio listeners. I have 3 ways of recording this right now. I have my fancy microphone that you guys see right here. I have my lapel mic, which is on me right now. Oops, sorry, Instagram, because I just hit that. Instagram is right here on my phone as I point over there. Hi. And is that the third? Yeah. So I'm kind of crazy. I love technology. I love being a little bit nuts like this and trying all these things and geeking out on it. But at the same time, it makes me a little bit crazy. I don't know if it's, I just kind of get into the excitement of it all and trying to manage it and bring it all together. So we'll get going. And you guys, just so you know, hey, more of you have joined in. This is like exciting. So I'm just going to say hello again to a few more. So Troy just joined. Danette, Bev, Melanie, hello, you guys. So I will dive into the podcast, and then I will be asking you guys a question later on. Because I want to be mindful to the audio listeners. And so for those of you watching the replay or listening to the audio, you can always go back. You can come here to the, you can go to the Facebook page, leave comments, because I'm always going to be popping in and out and answering those. Lynn just came into the room. Hello, 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 everybody. Okay, so now I'm going to dive in. We're going to get going. And I'm going to first ask you all to please take a moment, if you would be so kind, and to share with all your friends. I always forget to ask. And that goes for you, Instagram person. Hi, Cat House Crochet. So please take a moment and share. Judy, hello. Nice to see you. This is awesome, you guys. So I have to switch gears and start thinking about the podcast now. So this is the video version of the podcast, you guys. And really, that's how we're going. That's the kind of the direction that things are going in now. Kimberly just joined. Awesome. Kim, so nice to see you. All right. So I hope that you all have shared this with your peeps. Okay, so let's dive in. So I know you guys are dying to get those 7 tips for how to become an intuitive knitter. So we master the tools and then we reimagine them. And that's what I want to talk about today. So as I said earlier, we are on an intuitive journey over these. It's been like, gosh, it seems like the last few months, right? Because some of you have joined me for the challenge, and now more of you have been with me for this exciting 5-week workshop that is in progress. We're about to start Lesson 3. Lesson 3 is coming up, and that will be released on Monday. So for any of you who are wondering, what's that all about? Well, I will be releasing the workshop again, so you'll have another opportunity to take it, but it will not be a live workshop. Right now, it is a live workshop, although there will be more live workshops down the road. And something that I really enjoy doing, as you guys can tell here, I love going live. So there'll be more live opportunities, live challenges, especially live challenges. So those will always be, there'll be a combination of live and pre-recorded challenges. So anyway, so in this workshop that we're all having a ton of fun with, it's all about taking an intuitive journey through shawl making, right? And so that focus is to find that intuitive knitter inside of you, to trust that wisdom, to trust your inner wisdom, okay? And so, you know, as the former editor of Creative Knitting Magazine, I know it was always, you know, as an editor, it was always about the pattern, right? But the pattern can also be a hindrance, right? Because, we can really get caught up in relying upon what it says in the pattern instead of, you know, trusting our own wisdom. And so I think that, and we'll get into one of these, you know, these tips that I have, because it's about, and you know, if you are reading a pattern, to just, you know, sort of stop yourself and be like, what does come next? Let me take a look at what's happening on my needles, right? So patterns definitely have their place, right? They really do. So they're the beginning tools that help us learn, especially if we're new to the craft. But to take that tiny step in the direction of trusting what's on the needles is what we're going to dig into today. And, you know, how we can take these steps in and kind of just to go in that direction, even if it's just a little bit. So if you feel a little bit, you know, some trepidation about the idea of, you know, saying, oh no, I'm not going to look at a pattern anymore. Well, no, that's not what I mean. But I really would love for you just to start trusting in your own intuition. Okay. So again, these 7 tips are really going to help you get there. So you just might be surprised is all I can say. I think that by going with that to that place of trust, of believing in yourself, it builds confidence, and you really do empower yourself to become a more mindful knitter for sure, and a more intuitive knitter, I should say. So you build that confidence. So yes, so mastering the tools and then dissecting them. So we understand first, we understand the mechanics, right? So we need to do that, right? So I think before we can really reimagine, dissect, we have to first, you know, maybe mastering them is a heavy word, but we need to basically understand how to use them. And so I'm going to kind of go into this little Picasso metaphor that I thought of today, because if you know Picasso, I think we probably all have heard of Picasso, right? So he was known, obviously, for cubism, you know, developing this art form called cubism. So very odd shapes. And, you know, and I used to think when I was a new art student or before I was an art student, before I really became, just a little bit more mature in my understanding of art and design, I used to think that, well, you know, Picasso, like, why is he drawing these weird shapes? And like, it's kind of sloppy or whatever I thought. It doesn't really look like a person. Of course, that wasn't the idea. But just the way that Picasso would deconstruct. And there was so much meaning behind what he did. But the more I studied Picasso, the more I realized what a draftsman he was. He could draw any image from life in the most perfect detail. So he could see, hands down, Picasso could see, and he could translate and illustrate. So he was an illustrator. He could translate what he saw with his eye and tell a story, right? But then he became curious and he decided to deconstruct, right? Deconstruct what that really meant. And then this abstract art form called cubism was born from Picasso's innovations. So I just thought that would be a kind of a cool way to kind of talk about how, you know, we can take this idea of mastering tools, right? Of mastering, understanding this thing, right, that we call knitting. And then once we really get a grasp for it, to explore the possibilities and trust our own, you know, the tools that we acquire. Because I can remember when I first started knitting, it wasn't that intuitive, but crochet was more intuitive for me for some reason. Crochet felt more intuitive. I could just start crocheting and make something because I said, oh, I want to make that thing. But with knitting, not so much. But after a while, I could do that easily because I understood the tools. So there's really no right or wrong in knitting. And you guys, maybe you've heard me say that before in the past because, you know, I think that sometimes we can get caught up in like black and white and this is how it is and this isn't, you know, the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, and I know that that can happen, right? But, you know, yeah, maybe that twisted stitch in the middle of a stockinette row, you could say is an accent, is a design accent, right? But so it's really kind of, isn't beauty in the eye of the beholder, sort of. I mean, you could kind of go down that road and say that you meant to do it, right? But, you know, really the truth is that there really is no right or wrong. But yes, I mean, a pattern needs to be understood. So if you are a pattern writer, like, so if you want to go down that path and become a designer, let's say, you do have to tell your story. And you have to tell that story in a way that the knitter will understand it so you can lead them down that path. And that's going to be another story or one of the best pieces of advice that I received that I'll tell you in just a few minutes when I get into these tips. So I want you to really feel like you can go by the beat of your own drum. So, you know, yeah, if you're reading the pattern, it should be logical. Like I said, it should be logical and correct based on the path a knitter is supposed to take. But then pulling it apart and thinking differently about the pattern is something I think we should begin to challenge in our own experiences. So, so here's this. Yeah, I'll just tell you the story now. So this is about that leading the knitter down the path. If for example, any of you are wanting to design patterns, you know, so this is speaking to that. And any pattern that you read, you know, as a knitter, as a hobby knitter, should be leading you. It's, if it's a good pattern and you understand it, it's leading you down a path. So early in my designing career, one of my mentors gave me the best advice about pattern writing. And she said, you need to know where to lead the knitter in the pattern. So they know where to go, because if you don't lead them down that path, they're going to get lost, right? So the main goal is to lead that knitter and to write the pattern in a way that will lead them. So as long as you, whether you write a pattern based on the kind of symbols and guidelines that are out there, because, you know, there are guidelines that a lot of magazines and books follow. But in my honest opinion, you know, if you are able to lead someone and give them that end result in whatever way you need to, based on your style and your own way and your own vision, then that's how you should do it. So I'm going to get into now my 7 tips for how to develop your knitting intuition. Are you guys ready for this? You guys ready? All right. Here we go. So I'm just looking over at the comments real quick. Again, trying to be mindful of you guys watching the, listening to the audio version of this show, just making sure that everyone's happy over on the comments side. Awesome. So, and I'll just read a few of these little comments here. So Jana, and then I'll go back. Just a little aside here. So Jana Ford says, yeah, it's easier to be intuitive with crochet than knitting most of the time. So going back to what I said earlier, and that's an interesting topic. Maybe that's something we should talk about another time, but why is it easier to be more intuitive with crochet than knitting? I'm just curious about that one. Because I think developing my knitting intuition took a little bit longer. So Melanie says, sometimes I look at things and wonder how I could translate things into knitting. So Melanie, going back to being intuitive with crochet, do you find that you, I don't know if you crochet, but do you feel that you're more intuitive when it comes to crochet or another craft? So, and I think this comes with time. So I don't know how long you've been a knitter, Melanie, but I know for myself, like I said in the beginning, it wasn't so intuitive for me, but later on it did. It became more intuitive. So, yeah. And so Kim says there are not knitting police. Exactly. No, it's really true. Although sometimes we can get caught up in that. And I see that sometimes with a pattern that I create, or I think that when you are an instructor, right? So if I'm sharing something with you guys, especially during the workshop, to do things a certain way, of course, you want to make sure that you're doing it the right way. So I think it comes down to also your desire for really wanting to do things right, and that kind of the perfectionist thing. And again, I should be jotting these things down, but you know what? I have Melanie in the room. Melanie, maybe that's, we should be talking about the perfectionist syndrome. What do you think? Melanie is really good at letting me know what I should be talking about. She gives me great ideas. And also the intuitive aspects of knitting versus crochet. Yeah. Oh, Jenny, you're so cute. I love how you say that. So Jenny says, I need to be a rebel like Kara. And that's what I'm trying to teach you guys, because I feel like it's time to deconstruct. And that's why I felt like it was really time to start talking about, this topic, to really, even though we've been talking about the intuition side, because over the years, you know, of course, again, this goes into this deconstruction of things. I can apply to what I've been doing as the editor of Crave Knitting, because, you know, the truth is that I have been using these tools, right? So, so what is that? How does that translate? Like the tools of the pattern. And so what does that mean exactly when it comes to where can we go with the pattern? How can the pattern change? You know, it hasn't been that different for decades, you know? So I don't know. I feel like a lot of the things that I've been saying up to this point, as long as we can lead the knitter or the crocheter, the yarn crafter down a path, however you decide to lead them down that path is all that matters. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so here are the 7 tips to develop your knitting or crochet intuition. Okay, these can be applied to knitting, crochet, or any needle craft, or really, to be honest, I think it can apply to a lot of different crafts. So here we go. Number one, learn to read what's on your needles. And this is something that you guys know I've been talking about a whole lot. I always talk about it. So sorry if I sound like a broken record, but you know, this is a really good thing. This is a really important, point. So, you know, if you're working open work like SSK, Knits You Together, you know that the SSK obviously slants to the left, and maybe if you don't, it does. So slip, knit is a decrease that slants to the left. And then when you knit 2 stitches together, they slant to the right. So when you work these over and over again in a specific pattern, you can predict, you can see, you can read your knitting, and you know that it's coming up. So that's the basics. And on more intricate patterns, maybe it would be harder to see. But as you dive into different things and different types of techniques, it'll be a lot easier for you to read that pattern and become more intuitive. And then number two, so here's tip number two. So what comes next, right? That's the tip. What comes next on the needles? If working a pattern, when you finish a row, instead of that knee-jerk reaction to look at what comes next, like what's written, see if you can figure out, see if you can stop yourself and think, I've been working this pattern, so let me see if I can figure out what the next step is based on what my fabric is telling me, you know, what's forming on my needles. And then number three is to sit with the swatch, okay? And you guys know this, I mean, I can't talk about intuitive knitting without talking about, you know, or I can't, yes, I can't talk about becoming an intuitive knitter without talking about the swatch. And it doesn't necessarily mean working a gauge swatch, you guys. That's part of it. But to sit with your yarn, get to know your yarn. Every yarn is different, and it's not going to behave the way that you think it does just by looking at it on the skein or on the ball, or based on, let's say you have a pattern and it calls for a different yarn and you want to use that yarn, right? The one you have in your stash. You don't know how it's going to behave, and it may look very different. So you owe yourself the time, you know, you owe the yarn the time. It's just a great idea to take that time to be present with your swatch, because that's where ideas will come, magic sparks will happen. You know, so I've talked about magic sparks a lot on this podcast. Okay. So let's go to number four. Number four is be spontaneous. Okay. And so what do I mean by that? So you might be making your swatch, and I want you to just go from, let's say you're working with a bulky weight yarn, get crazy and go down to a lace weight yarn. That's weird, right? But you don't know until you try, or maybe that's a little bit too much. So maybe you go down to a DK weight or a sock weight yarn, but just break the rules and be spontaneous. I think that that's the only way to discover and to break that mold, to break the mold. I'm trying to get you to break the mold. So here you go. I'm a rebel. Okay. And then let's get to number five. Okay. Number five on this list is to do the opposite. Okay. So do the opposite of what the ball band instructs. So, you know, I want you to break those old habits. So that goes in, that's in line with the being spontaneous. But the reason why I wanted to bring this fifth tip up, and I'll, you know, because I have this another little story. And it's so a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, I'll just use her first name, Karen, and she's a Southern Belle from Augusta, Georgia, and very wise woman. And she would say to me, she said to me once, and this is, you know how we have those things in our life that just stick in our brain and they just stay with us. And she said, "Kara, when you wake up tomorrow, just do the opposite of what you normally do." And I was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? That's so crazy. Like, okay, so instead of waking up and, you know, doing whatever I do, go outside for a walk instead of, you know, sitting down and having a cup of coffee, just go out before right when the sun is about to rise, or something like that, or something totally different. Just try something different. And that right there, it breaks old habits, right? It breaks old old patterns of working. And I just loved that advice that she gave me. And I think whenever I get into a rut, or I feel like I'm in a pattern, a habit is forming, a bad habit is forming, I always think of that wise advice that my friend Karen gave me. Okay, are you guys ready for number six? And then I have a question for you. And then we're going to just have a little engagement time. So number six is to pay attention to the way you do things, right? To the way you do things in your knitting. But hey, you can apply this to life. You could take these seven tips and put them into motion any way you want. So pay attention to the way you do things. And if you understand how to knit in an unconventional way, you know, embrace it, right? Embrace it. That's okay if that's how you understand. You don't, like, again, like we said, there's no knitting police, like Kim reminded us. There's no black or white. There's no right or wrong way. If you have a certain style and it's quirky and it's off the wall, but it gets you to that end result, then embrace it. Use the methods that help you understand your work. Okay. And here we go. Drum roll, please. So here we go. Number seven. Do you see a better way to knit a pattern? Okay. So that's the tip. So if you see a better way, I should rephrase that. If you see a better way to knit a pattern, or a crochet pattern, knitting pattern, then apply it, you know? So maybe you think that there could be a more open-ended solution that would allow you to work a longer shawl, for example, or maybe a deeper cowl. Then do it. A deeper neckline, whatever it is. Then do it. then do it. So, I do that all the time. I see something in a pattern that I like, but maybe there's another element that I don't like. So I'll change it up. And you know what? I might borrow a sleeve from another pattern. There's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong. Or maybe borrowing a panel. You know what? Let's say you're making a shawl like the one behind me and you are in the workshop because this is our shawl pattern. And you want to insert a really wide center spine, right? So with a center spine. And you can do that. Just open up a stitch dictionary and deconstruct and have a little bit of fun. All right. So those are the 7 tips. So you guys, I have a question for you, and then I will jump over here into the comments. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you this question. Okay. And it goes like this. Do you like the way most knitting patterns are written? Or do you feel that it's time to reimagine how we navigate a pattern that includes a more open-ended, intuitive approach? Okay, so it's your turn to answer that. And for those of you who are listening to the audio or watching the replay, feel free to leave your comments on Facebook. So in the comments here, if you are watching the replay, and if you're listening to the podcast, to the audio version, jump on over to the show notes page at powerpearlspodcast.com and let's start a conversation there. Let's do that. So now I'm going to take a look over here in the comments and see what you guys are up to. So Kimberly says, I always adapt patterns to fit me. I'm currently doing it right now with the shawl. Well, that's great. That's awesome. Let's see. I love to see all your comments come in. So yes, Danette says, yes, I didn't do a gauge swatch once and I had to tear apart a whole sweater, learned my lesson. Yeah. So the gauge swatch, right? And we've gone up this road before. It's your blueprint, you guys. So, and that's another one, like we've explored that, but I think we can explore it even deeper. That gauge swatch is our blueprint. Whether you're designing or you're knitting something for pleasure. Okay. So thanks for mentioning it. Thanks for being honest about that, Danette. This is great. And so for those of you who have just joined, I'm looking over at my phone now because I've been neglecting the Instagram audience. I just started broadcasting live on Instagram. Today's, I think, only my second time. That's it. My second time. So it's a small crowd over there on Instagram, but I thought, you know, I'm going to get the word out there in all the different places. So here live, Instagram, YouTube, and the podcast all in one shot. It's a beautiful thing. So I think, and I was just thinking about this today, I'm going to be teaching a workshop on how to podcast for fiber artists, for crafters, knitters, to do just like a no nonsense approach to podcasting. So I think it's time for that. So Evelyn says, I love how much you encourage swatching, Kara. I am an old school knitter and somehow swatching has gotten a bad name lately. Oh, well, I love swatching and I have to actually give credit to Deborah Newton. If you guys know who Deborah Newton is. She wrote a book called Designing Knitwear. It's an old book, but she's written so many other books, like some of her more recent books. Finishing School is a wonderful, wonderful book. But anyway, I learned to love the gauge swatch, but not just the gauge swatch. I learned to love sitting with my swatch, drinking coffee, just enjoying the process. You know, and I think that something happens. We get a little bit nervous and scared that we're going to run out of yarn. And I get it. Yarn is not cheap. So we're afraid that we're going to run out of yarn and not have enough for our project. But I think that, you know, it's so worth it to sit and not worry, because most of the time I think we realize we have enough. And if we don't, we can rip out the gauge swatch. Because here's another thing too. It doesn't take a lot of yarn, right? It doesn't take a lot of yarn to make a gauge swatch. So you're really not going to miss out. You're not going to run out of yarn. And like I said, if you do, you can rip out the gauge swatch. And the other thing is too, if you have to use your gauge swatch, you probably should have gotten another ball of yarn, right? Because that's cutting it pretty close. Yeah. So you guys, well, this is great. And, I'm just scrolling through here a few more because, Melanie says, actually, I probably should have put up a different comment here from you, Melanie. Let me scroll down. Let's start with this one. So Melanie says, because I posed an earlier question about the intuitive aspects of how Melanie wished that she could be more intuitive when it comes to knitting. So Melanie says, I've been knitting for about 10 years now, and I'm just starting to let go of patterns to make my own. Well, you're in the right place, Melanie, and that's that's the beginning. That's the beginning of being able to trust that wisdom, that intuitive, that confidence, and, you know, empowerment comes with that as well. So let me go back up to the other second part of that. So Melanie says, because I was looking at patterns and thinking how I would make changes. I see. So, and that makes sense. So, So maybe you saw a pattern that you like, but maybe you want to see how that could become something completely different and how maybe that light bulb might go off to help you figure out what that is. Yeah. So awesome. All right. Okay. Gosh, there's so many great questions coming in here. So you guys, this is awesome. So we, so the question that I asked you about the knitting pattern, like whether you like the way patterns are written as is, or if you'd like to take an intuitive approach, if you're still thinking about it, you guys can still jump into the comments. If I don't get to any more of those questions during this podcast, I will always pop back in and read them, and I invite all of your comments, questions, and feedback. Alrighty. So, all right. So I'm just going to start to wrap things up here. This has been, a little more than a half hour now. And I see someone on. Let me pop on over to Instagram. So, hi there. My first sweater was knit without a pattern, just the math blueprint from a series of YouTube videos from Webs. Had to do a swatch. Awesome. So just the math blueprint from a series of YouTube videos. That's pretty amazing. So I think when you're able to watch a video, I think nowadays we have the ability to watch a video and see, you know, look at, let's say, a blueprint, a chart, or watching someone's hands actually doing the technique. It really does help us wrap our brain around exactly what's happening. So thanks for chiming in there in Instagram. Wap, I don't know what your name is, but Wapak Design. Sorry about that. So, all right, you guys. So please remember that Power Pearls is on Patreon now. So please consider supporting the show in whatever way that you guys can. Let's keep this all going. So if you guys want to learn more, if you're not already a member or you're not already part of the community on Patreon, you can go to powerpearlspodcast.com/community and you can learn more about that, the benefits, the rewards, because there's lots of good stuff happening over there. Also, right now we're doing this 5-week workshop that I've been talking about this whole time. That was a special promotion that I started back in April, which is live. So things will be happening again. And I am launching an online school, a brand new school. I'm still building it out. So I'm not going to talk too much about it right now. I get carried away. But I am offering one-on-one 3-month coaching. I still have some slots open. I've been talking about that over the last couple of weeks. So if you are interested in working with me and you really want to build your fiber brand and business, you know, let me help you, you know, because I'm able to, I can pay forward my 15 plus years of experience in the fiber yarn world. So if you want to learn more, go to powerpearlspodcast.com/coaching. Just to learn more, you can check out what's in store over there. So you guys, this has been really great. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today for another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. All you guys on Facebook, enjoy the weekend, and also on Instagram Live. I will catch you guys next time. So, see ya.